Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 126, looking forward in 2019. Hey everybody, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of the show. I'm Roger, your host, and of course this is the podcast that's all about home cooking. Getting inspired, learning new things, sharing tips and tricks with friends. That's why we're all here. And I really, really appreciate you taking the time to tune in. I know some of you are brand new listeners, so welcome. I know some of you have been with me for a long, long time. Thanks for sticking around. It's been fun to grow this little home cooking community together. Well, episodes have been a little bit sparse the last couple of months. It's been busy, holidays, all that kind of stuff. But I'm back in and focused, getting several episodes out here. And I've been thinking about kind of how to start the year as far as the podcast episodes go. And I have a lot of ideas for what I want to do for episodes, but I was just trying to think of a way that would really kind of kick off the year. And this isn't really a smorgasbord episode, but yet it is an episode with a lot of different ideas in it. And it had been a while since I've done some sort of a list or a listicle episode, if you will. So I thought I would kind of do something like that today in a way that some thoughts have been floating around my head. Some practical, some a little more philosophical when it comes to home cooking. And what I had even contemplated doing was kind of a redo of my very first episode way back in 2014. I think it was called To Cook or Not to Cook. I thought maybe I would try to update that, although I think the information in it's still valid, even though it was my very first episode and it probably sounds terrible and it's pretty basic. So I thought I would take a little bit of a different approach today. And I'm going to get to that in a second. But of course, before I do have a few housekeeping items I want to take care of first. First thing, if you ever want to get a hold of me, you know, you can always send me an email over to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. I check out all of my emails. I try to respond to all of them. Although recently, when I do things like a cookbook giveaway and I tell people one of the ways to enter is to send me an email, I get a lot of emails, so I don't always get around to answering them all, but I do read them all. I promise. I got a lot of great cookie emails in the last month, so thank you for sending those in. I'm actually going to announce a winner here for that cookbook giveaway in a second, But feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com is a great way to get a hold of me. You know, you can also go over to the Kitchen Counter Podcast Facebook page, facebook.com/kitchencounterpodcast. Send me a message there. Or if you want to do even more interacting with me and other listeners, we're growing a great little community over at the Facebook group page, the Kitchen Counter Coffee Break. You can sign up to get in there over if you just go to the kitchencounterpodcast.com/group. It'll take you to that page. You can get in. And finally, for this particular episode, if you want any of the show notes or anything I mention, you can head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/126. One other thing I want to mention really quickly. I had several messages or emails from folks over the last couple of months wanting to know about ways they could support the show. If you've listened for any period of time, you know that typically I don't look to make any income off of the show, as in I'm not selling anything. So you're never going to hear me really pitch anything, any products or stuff like that. And to date, I haven't had any sponsors or ads in the show. I'm contemplating if that may change in the future, but for now, the show remains without sponsors or ads. So people are wondering, well, how can they support the show monetarily if they wanted to do that? And I haven't really had a lot of good ways to do that. So a couple of updates really quick on that front. One, you can always do your Amazon shopping through my affiliate link over on the website. If you go to the kitchencounterpodcast.com, go to the resource tab on the website and scroll down a little over halfway through the page, you'll see an online shopping section with an Amazon link. If you click that, anything you buy on Amazon after that, I don't know, for 24 hours or whatever it is, I'll get a few bucks probably based on what you buy, and it won't cost you anything more. So that's one way you can do it. Something that is totally brand new that I just added to the website, looks kind of ugly. I haven't refined it yet. I've also added a PayPal button. So if you actually want to give money to, you know, to help me support the show, to pay for my podcast hosting fees or the website fees or whatever it is, you can click on the PayPal link and donate however much you want. Don't feel like you have to do that. I'm not even asking you to do that. I'm just making that option available if you feel moved to do so, go for it. But other than that, you know, you can also leave ratings and reviews on wherever you're getting your podcasts. You can tell your friends and your family about the show. Lots of ways you can support the show that don't require you spending any money on my behalf. But I really, really do appreciate you all who reached out and asked about that. It really means a lot to me that you want to support the show, you're getting value out of it, and you want to see it continue. So thank you very much. All right, moving right along. In the last episode, the December Smorgasbord episode, I was giving away a cookbook, as I usually do on Smorgasbord episodes. And this time I was giving away a copy of Dory's Cookies by Dory Greenspan. Lots of folks send in entries via email and Facebook Messenger. And I did a drawing yesterday for the winner. I haven't even emailed them yet or announced it. So I'm going to announce it here. Michelle Remy. Michelle, you won the cookbook. So congratulations. Thank you for sending in your entry. Tell your 8-year-old that he has great taste. He loves chocolate biscotti cookies. And you guys are going to have a lot more cookies to try out with Dory's Cookies by Dory Greenspan. So very cool. I'll send you an email, but if you hear this first, you can just shoot me an email with your shipping address and I'll get that off to you. All right, Michelle, thank you. And thank you to everyone else who sent me messages for the December Smorgasbord entry. All right, I feel like I'm going a mile a minute, probably because I am, but I really want to get to the content of the show. So I think that'll do it for housekeeping today. So let's jump right into looking forward to 2019. Okay, so I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I was trying to think of a way to start off 2019 with a podcast episode without necessarily getting into a specific topic or diving deep into something. And I'm not a fan of resolutions, New Year's resolutions. I know probably a lot of you aren't either. So I came up with sort of a list of things that have been floating around my brain. Some of them are very top of mind and practical and things I'm going to be working on soon. Some of them are a little more philosophical, a little more long-term thinking, but they all have to do, of course, with home cooking. So today, I'm not necessarily going to talk about specific food and recipes, but I want to talk about some ideas or goals or maybe ways that you can think about kickstarting your 2019 so you get excited for cooking at home. Again, I'll put this list over at kitchencounterpodcast.com/126. And here's the good news. Unlike probably 98% of other food and cooking related podcasts out there, aside from this very moment, I'm not going to mention diet or health again for the rest of the episode. So you can breathe a sigh of relief. I'm not going to get too preachy, at least on that sort of stuff. You don't have to worry about diet and health with me. I've always said I don't really care what you cook and eat. That's really your choice to make. I just want to help you do it. Okay? Okay, so here are my list of 10 things that I am looking forward to in 2019, and I want to share with you as well. First, a few really practical things. Number one, clean up the big stuff. Oh, I know, groan. Roger starts out a list with a cleaning thing. Well, buckle your seatbelts, there's going to be a couple more. You know, the beginning of the year, again, not resolutions, but it's always a good time to kind of stop, focus your mind, reset, especially after the crazy hustle bustle of the holidays that most of us go through when it comes to being with family and friends and cooking and cleaning the house and making a mess of the house. So when I say clean up the big stuff, what I like to think of that kind of gets me fresh and ready to go for 2019 is giving the fridge a real good clean out. There's probably some weird leftovers in there now from the holidays you've got in there. And when I say clean out the fridge, I mean like clean out the fridge. Don't just toss the food that's no good. I mean to take everything out of it, take the shelves out, wash it down inside, get it just sparkling clean. Not only is it good for like sanitary reasons to do that, I know it's a kind of a lot of work, but you feel really good when it's done and your fridge looks great and you've gone through food that you're like, wow, you know, how long has that jar of half-eaten olives been in the back of the fridge? You know, we all have that stuff that's been in there forever. So cleaning out the fridge is actually, to me, kind of inspiring because it just kind of gets my kitchen brain muscles working, you know, in a task that's kind of food related, but not cooking necessarily. The oven is another big thing that I like to tackle. You know, now that there's been a lot of cooking over the last few months, the oven's starting to look a little haggard, probably. So now's a great time to get your oven sparkling clean, you know, and ready for the last half of winter. Of course, if you have a freezer that gets frosty now, it'd be a great time to clean that out and defrost it as well. So cleaning out the big stuff is my number one item that is going to get me kicked off in 2019. Now, that being said, number two on my list is kind of related, and that's cleaning up the little stuff. I don't know about you, but I have a lot of cooking related things tucked in nooks and crannies all over my kitchen and the garage. We've got some old pots and pans we really need to dig out and get rid of. My drawers with like kitchen utensils are starting to get a little crazy. I think I've got one drawer that's got so many weird little gadgets in it, I have a hard time opening it. So cleaning up the little things, you know, making room for your new cooking things that maybe you got over the holidays is a great idea. And, you know, as you're doing this, think about things that you don't use anymore and you don't need and how you can rehome those. There are probably a lot of people in your circle of family and friends, maybe that could use some good hand-me-down pots and pans or baking sheets or kitchen gadgets that maybe you don't need anymore, or you've gotten some new ones that you're replacing them with. And I bet there's a lot of folks that would love to get a hold of some of the neat stuff you have that you don't plan on using anymore. At the very least, you could take them to a thrift shop, a charitable place, and donate it. Somebody somewhere will get some use out of the stuff that you need to get rid of. So that was number two, cleaning up the little stuff. And then to nail the trifecta, number three, it's a good time to organize your pantry. Whatever pantry means to you. I've got a little cabinet in our garage, a kind of a almost like a little standalone closet sort of a thing that I keep a ton of stuff in. And if you don't go through and rotate and kind of figure out what you've got hidden in there, because, you know, throughout the months, we just kind of tuck stuff in and things get forgotten. You're going to end up wasting food, and that's no good. So now is a good time to do some things like shopping from your pantry. So instead of maybe shopping for a couple of meals this week or next, maybe you go to your pantry or the cabinets above your counter where you keep your boxed and your canned goods. Pick out some things that have been in there and forgotten and neglected for a while and meal plan around those. And then any extra food that you don't need or you don't want, you know, even though we're past the holidays, I guarantee you your local food banks would love to receive donations of non-perishable foods because, you know, hunger is not just a holiday time thing. It's all year round. So keep that in mind, even as you go throughout the year, that you can clean out your pantry and donate food that you don't want or don't need to good causes like your local food bank. Okay, the number four thing that's on my list going into 2019, and I think you're going to get a lot of value out of this, and actually, I have a whole podcast episode dedicated to this, probably the next podcast episode that I'm shooting for on January 15th, and that is organizing your recipes. So I don't even want to get into this right now because we're going to have a great show all about that in a couple of weeks. But I just want to say that recipes for me are one of the most neglected things sort of in my kitchen home cooking realm. I have a cubbyhole in the kitchen where I have a couple of little note card food recipe boxes. I have a mishmash of old food magazines. In some cases, we've just got pages ripped out of old magazines. Handwritten scrawled recipes tucked mishmash up in this cubbyhole. And every time I want to find a recipe that I haven't used for a while, it's like excavating a lost city up there to try to find what I need. So organizing recipes is going to be a big thing for me in 2019. And I would encourage you to stop and think about how you're dealing with your recipes. And again, on the next episode of the Kitchen Counter Podcast, we're going to be talking all about organizing recipes. So keep your podcast feed alive and well to catch that when it comes out. So organizing recipes heading into the new year, really excited to do that. All right, number five. I'm going to throw back to an old episode I did a couple of years ago. that I think isn't just a New Year's thing, but it's an all the time, all year thing. And that is breaking out of cooking ruts. The holidays being a bit of an exception. If we're busy during the holidays and cooking, you know, you're oftentimes cooking things that you might not ordinarily do for the rest of the year. But sometimes when January hits, it's like, oh, we're back to the same old stuff. I just don't know what to cook. I don't know what to meal plan. I'm bored with the food I'm making. My family's bored with the food I'm making. So now, more than any other time of the year, probably, again, this isn't a resolution, but now it's a great time to figure out how to break out of the rut you might be in. It might be a big rut. It might be just a slight little shallow bit of boredom that's creeping into your home cooking. But either way, there's lots of things you can do to make a new direction for yourself in the kitchen. And so I did a whole episode on this, episode 65. It was 7 ideas to break out of your cooking rut. I'll put the links to it in the show notes here, but I would encourage you to go back and listen to that again. There were some really fun ideas in that episode for ways that you can break out of cooking ruts. For example, maybe you should join a recipe exchange club with folks in your local community. Or maybe, this is a fun one, maybe you're not ready to go on an exotic vacation physically in real life. So why not plan a virtual vacation and research a location in the world and research their food and make recipes and kind of go on a virtual vacation through the cuisine of some interesting place. So there's lots of ways you can have some fun with creativity to break out of, you know, your doldrums in the kitchen. All right, we're halfway through my list here. So number 6, this is something that several of you have mentioned who have joined the Kitchen Counter Coffee Break Facebook group. And that is, you want an understanding of the various forms of cooking. So I'm calling this just get back to the basics. You know, there's a lot of cool gadgets and techniques out there, whether it's an Instant Pot or sous vide cooking or, you know, interesting ways to make different foods that you see in the tasty videos. But, you know, it really pays as a home cook to reacquaint yourself with the basics of cooking. And to that end, I'm going to be putting together probably 2 episodes because there's a lot to talk about, as just sort of a survey of basic cooking techniques. So we'll be talking about things like stovetop methods, sauteing, simmering, boiling, frying. We'll have a dedicated episode probably on techniques that use an oven, like roasting, baking, broiling, braising. We'll talk about grilling, non-heat cooking methods like pickling and fermenting. These won't be deep dives into each method, but sort of a way where you can stop and you can say, okay, let's just think about this again. What are all the different ways, or I should say most of the different ways that I can cook? And I find sometimes when I go back to the basics and just sort of simplify, I get more creative. And I remember things that I had forgotten that I used to like to cook or used to like to eat. And it just helps me sort of focus. So for 2019, I think getting back to the basics can help everybody, regardless of your cooking skill level. Now, my number 7 is actually, again, going to have a whole dedicated podcast episode to it. And this also is based off feedback I'm getting from a lot of people that are joining the Facebook group. Because when people join, I ask them their skill level in their own words and what they're kind of trying to do with their home cooking. What are they looking to learn or gain? And I don't have a scientific poll of this because, stupid me, I don't actually keep like a written record of what everybody says. But I can tell you, probably a third of everybody that joins says something to the effect that they want to learn how to improvise in the kitchen. They want to learn how to just take whatever ingredients they've got on hand and make something great. I have a lot of thoughts and opinions about that. I'm going to save that for another podcast episode, but I'm going to give you the one nugget right now that I think is almost counterintuitive to being an improviser in the kitchen. And that is learning to master dishes, learning to get really good at a few dishes or a variety, a handful of dishes, however many that might end up being for you. Going deep will actually help your improvising skills. So I think for 2019, I'm going to do this, I hope you will consider doing this too, is I want to chart a course for the year, and I want to master several dishes. And I haven't even thought yet of what they're going to be, because one of the things you have to do when you think about learning new dishes and mastering is you kind of have to assess what you're already good at and what you already consider yourself having mastered. So I need to do like a self-inventory of myself in the kitchen. I need to write down what I'm really, really good at making. And I would consider mastery for a home cook to be, you know what the ingredients are. You don't even need a recipe. You can make it. It turns out fantastic every time. And you can tweak it and modify it as you see fit, and it still turns out good. That's what I would call mastery. So if you've tried making a cheesecake from a recipe once and it turned out excellent, that's not mastery. That's lucky, probably, on your part. You need to make a cheesecake like 20 times. You need to make mistakes. You need to tweak them and figure out what works best for you and what delivers the best results until you can basically make a cheesecake from your brain, and you can make whatever kind of cheesecake you want, and they all turn out good. That's what mastery is, in my opinion. So I'm going to chart a course. I'm going to pick some dishes that I want to get really, really, really deep at, and I'm going to master them. And I would encourage you to do the same thing. Maybe that's one dish. Maybe it's several dishes. It just depends on how much time you have to commit to really working on food. And these aren't dishes you're going to make and toss. Hopefully these will be dishes you'll eat or your family will eat. But I think it's not unrealistic to say you could master a new dish every couple of months. So maybe 5 or 6 dishes this year you could sign up to master, at least a couple. So mastering some new dishes, I think, is something that can serve us all well, especially you folks that want to learn how to become great improvisers. And again, I'm going to talk about that in an episode here soon. All right, number 8. Now, this is something that's near and dear to my heart, and this dovetails perfectly with the one we just talked about, which is mastering some dishes. And that is, make it a point to learn from somebody. You know, one of the best ways to learn anything, especially cooking something, is to learn directly from somebody else, somebody who knows how to do it, somebody who's maybe mastered the dish themselves. I don't mean learning it online or even through a podcast like this or by reading a blog or watching videos. I mean in the same kitchen with somebody, side by side, touching the food that they're touching, using the tools that they're using, interacting with them directly. It's a powerful, powerful way to learn. Now, it could be in the form of taking a cooking class. Maybe you're there with other people. That's a great way to do it. But even more powerful, I think, is one-on-one. So if you know somebody who you admire their cooking, or they have a great dish that they're always bringing to the church potluck, or maybe it's your grandma, whatever, and you want to really understand how they make their food and how they make it great, really get in the kitchen next to them and learn. I guarantee they will be thrilled to teach you. Everybody loves to teach something that they're passionate about. So find somebody, ask them if they'd be willing to teach you how to do something, how to make something in the kitchen. And I think you'll be greatly rewarded by that. I have a coworker that I used to work with that I haven't seen for many years. It's been probably 8 years or so since I've worked there. I've seen him here and there, and we actually just ran into each other at a Christmas party a month ago at another acquaintance's, mutual acquaintance's house. And his name's John, and he used to make, I think he still does, these amazing tamales to where he would take orders at work, right? Like people would order dozens at a time, and he'd take a whole day or a whole weekend and make hundreds of tamales and sell them to his coworkers. So I ran into him and we got to chatting about it, and I asked him if he'd teach me how to make them. And he said, sure. So hopefully I can set up a time with him where we can get together and he can really give me the deep dive on tamales. I'm really looking forward to that. So that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Now, there's a part B to this one, and that is to kind of pay that forward and then teach somebody how to do something. Teach somebody in person how to make something you like to make or you're good at making. Again, for all of the reasons I just mentioned about learning from somebody, they're going to have a great time. You're going to have a great time. And chances are, through the act of teaching to somebody else, you're going to learn so much more about what you thought you already knew forward and backwards. It'll be a very valuable experience. I can guarantee that. So number 8 is learn from somebody and teach somebody something about food and cooking. Okay, 2 more. Number 9, I want you to think also about how your food and cooking habits impact the people around you. I've mentioned this various times in other podcast episodes. You know, many of us have a love for cooking and a love for particular types of food based on the way we were brought up. Maybe the food that was present in our household. Maybe it's tied to a certain region of the country or the world in which we live. And we've grown fond of the food, the local cuisine that's available in that area. Whatever it is, you know, I think it's a good idea to periodically examine how you've come to hold these ideas about food and cooking, and how were the people and the places and the events in your life influential in getting you there. And then I want you to look forward, and I want you to think about your friends and your family, other people in your world, and how what you're doing is impacting their appreciation, their understanding of food and cooking. And you may think it's not, but I promise you it is, and it may be doing it in ways that won't manifest for many, many years. You know, for those of us who have young children, you know, I guarantee you at some point in the future, your child may say, oh, I used to love dad's tuna noodle casserole, whatever it is. I used to love that and I crave it. It makes me think of my childhood, and, you know, and watching and helping him make it on the weekend is kind of what got me excited about trying things in the kitchen and cooking on my own. Or conversely, I know a lot of people who have come to home cooking now who lament the fact that they didn't have that when they were younger, right? They just, nobody in their house cooked. And then they felt unprepared at some point in their life when they wanted to kind of raise their own family maybe and cook for themselves. And they had no idea. They didn't have that foundation. I'm not saying either way is right or wrong. I'm just saying that, you know, where we're all at in our particular places in our lives, when it comes to food and cooking, we all got there. You know, we didn't get there by accident. Let me just put it that way. So what I'm trying to say is maybe it's time for you to start a new food tradition. Maybe it's time to get the family or your friends together. And maybe it's based on a time of year. Maybe it's based on a holiday. Maybe it's just based on nothing more than the fact that you want to get together and cook together or eat good food together. I'm being kind of vague because I can't be more specific. It's really up to you, right, to decide what could be an interesting food tradition. The one I've shared from my family, I've shared in the past, is we've started kind of a we call it a cook-off, where my immediate family gets together. We try to do it once a year. We pick a theme, and then all the family shows up, and we either bring a dish or make a dish there based on the theme, and we kind of have a fun little competition, and we have winners and prizes and all that stuff. So it's a new food tradition, a new cooking tradition for us. We've been doing it, I think, 5 or 6, we're either going on our 6th or 7th year, I can't remember, but it's been a great way to keep our family connected and together. Not everybody can make it. Not everybody can do it. But it's something we just try to be consistent with so people expect it, and we have a lot of fun. So, and your food tradition doesn't have to be that elaborate, right? It can be fairly simple. But just think of, again, the what you're doing with food and cooking and how that's impacting other people and how you can positively impact other people. Okay, last item on the list for looking forward to 2019. And this is funny because it's not directly related to home cooking per se, but that is treat yourself to a nice meal out. Again, we're all in different places in our lives where cooking at home means different things to us. For some of us, it's strictly fun, strictly a hobby. Maybe we're just cooking for ourselves or ourselves and a significant other. Maybe we don't have a family anymore at home that we're cooking for. So we're, you know, maybe flexible with what we do. Some of us, home cooking means day in, day out, making healthy, nutritious meals for our family. And that can be a lot of work, and everywhere in between. So while cooking is great and fun, sometimes a chore, you know, we all need to be taken care of once in a while, especially for the ardent home cooks among us. And I'm sure most of you probably do this already, but you can just say, this is Roger's permission to you to take an evening by yourself, with your spouse, with a friend, with a coworker, with your kids, whatever it is. Find a nice restaurant and have a good time. Save up your money. I mean, you don't have to bankrupt yourself to go out to eat. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, don't go to fast food. Go someplace where you can peruse the menu. You can soak in the atmosphere. You can taste some really, really dynamic and interesting food. And of course, you'll have fun and you'll have great food. You'll have great company. But you're going to learn things even as a home cook when you go to a great restaurant. You're going to read their menu. And by the way, in all types of restaurants, menus are a great way to get ideas and to be inspired for home cooking. Not that you're necessarily going to replicate the dishes that you find, but you might stumble across interesting ingredient combinations or methods of making a dish you thought you already knew and was kind of boring. Restaurant menus are a great place to steal ideas from. But you'll learn a lot from pampering yourself in a nice evening out. So treat yourself to a nice meal is my last goal or idea or anti-resolution going into 2019. Well, I hope that list made a little bit of sense. As I said at the beginning, I was trying to think of a way to kind of start 2019, getting the gears in our heads turning when it comes to cooking and food. And I just wanted to share some different ideas. So I hope at least one of those ideas, if nothing more than getting your fridge a good deep dive clean, I hope one of those ideas get you cranking and inspired and looking down the road throughout the year and figuring out what it is you're going to do with your kitchen and your cooking for the next 12 months. And on a few of those I mentioned, I have a dedicated podcast episode coming up where I'm going to get even deeper into the topic. And the next one will be about organizing your recipes. Kitchen Counter Coffee Break member and app developer Julie Awad will be on the podcast, and we're going to talk about organizing recipes. And even more specifically, we're going to be talking about her new app, My Saffron, which is an online recipe management system. So looking forward to that. Well, that does it for another episode of the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Thank you very much for tuning in and listening. I really appreciate it. Congratulations, Michelle, on winning Dory's Cookies Cookbook. I'll be in touch soon to get that out to you. And again, if any of you want to get in touch, please feel free to send an email over to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. All right, everybody. Until next time, I'm Roger with the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Happy cooking.